It is frigid in downtown Nashville today. Titans and Saints. It is the pregame show live from Rock Bottom Brewery downtown. Jared Stillman, former Titans receiver. What? Chris Sanders.
It's cold.
Who doesn't want to be called former Titans receiver. Yeah. He wants to be called forever Titans receiver. Say, now is complaining about that.
Say handsome or something, man.
Because it makes you feel like you are just so old. Mark Howard is here with us.
Big Mark.
Today. The pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel Sportsbook, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Okay. The improbable 4-0 stretch for the Titans through the toughest part of the schedule has everybody talking about them as if they are one of the best teams, hottest teams in the NFL. However, the injury bug has hit again. Derrick Henry, now Julio Jones,
who
has been placed on IR.
He's still my beating heart.
Was he healthy?
Julio Pickens has been placed on IR.
Julio Pickens.
So the Titans take on a New Orleans Saints team that is not the New Orleans Saints team that we have seen in the past. No Drew Brees, he retired. Mm. No Alvin Kamara, he's hurt. No Michael Thomas, he's hurt. Trevor Siemian at quarterback today. But, guys, Mark, we'll start with you. It's a big one because of where the Titans find themselves right now.
First 1-20 wins today.
20.
I think it's been that crazy. You know, the Titans, and Jared, I'm sure you talked about it all week. You know, just a phenomenal defensive effort, you know, last week in Los Angeles. The Titans literally shocked the football world.
Absolutely.
Going in there without Derrick Henry. And they managed to overcome a pretty much zero running game. Mm-hmm. You know, Ryan Tannehill was okay. They're coming to get you, Chris. and just a phenomenal defensive effort led by Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry, who just blew up the Rams'
Absolutely.
Offensive line in just a phenomenal effort. And it's crazy, Chris.
Yes.
Because, you played in the league and you understand – you know, why you can't take teams lightly.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, I was watching the pregame for that, Jared. Nobody. Mike Tirico was sort of a joke, took the Titans. Everybody else said, it's going to be a rout. It's going to be a rout.
I took the Titans.
Well, okay. But I'm just saying, on NBC, guys who were sort of neutral about this game.
Rodney Harrison played with Vrabel and his buddies.
I know. I think it just underlines – how good this coaching staff
Absolutely.
Is, how good Shane Bowen is.
He doesn't like him.
I don't know about all that.
He's
I'm
good.
Not ready to go
Stop
there
it.
Yet.
Come
Stop
on,
it.
Dude.
Stop it.
You know, Terrell Williams has done a great job as a D-line coach, cleaning up Jeffrey Simmons' technique a little bit in Autry's. But Shane Bowen's done a phenomenal job. And I think Jim Schwartz has had a hand in that. But it goes to show you that in this league, you know, there's a huge element of coaching. And we're seeing that this year.
You know, we just look at – I'm really so proud of this team. Number one is last year they struggled on defense. They struggled with, you know, the pass rush, and they struggled with getting off on third downs. You're looking at a mature team. Look at what they did against the Rams. The pass rush was all over. You had Simmons, Autry, Landry. They were all over the place. They had 5 sacks. You had 3 by Simmons. And then they got off on third down. They were 4-for-15 and really made Stafford look like he never played in the league. I mean, if you look at the first and the second series of that game – look at Stafford's body language. His body language was like, what the heck did I get myself into? Because they were putting so much pressure on him. The secondary was covering their receivers. Understand that, you know, they made a couple of plays. But if you look deep into that game, the defense controlled that whole game because they pressured Stafford the whole time.
Yeah, and when you pressure a quarterback
Absolutely.
Like that and he's got to throw underneath, the Titans tackle extremely well in the secondary. There was not a lot of yards after catch. You know, Jared, listen, I mean, we were all skeptical. When you let your best two cornerbacks leave, you know, like the Titans did, you know, and you bring in Jackrabbit Jenkins, who's a veteran, who's a journeyman, and then, you know, Christian Fulton, obviously, hopefully, you know, going to be back. But, you know, you look at that picture, and you just – it was hard to imagine the back end of that defense being any good. But it's been pretty good.
Yeah, and just looking at the secondary, their coaches trust those guys. I mean, when you have Byard, when he says, I wasn't even supposed to go get that interception, but I went and did it. If I would have ran the wrong route and said, okay, I'm supposed to run a curl and I'll run the post, I'm going to be sitting on the bench because you're supposed to do what the coach says. But knowing that the coach is trust buyer to say, you know what, if you want to do that, you can freelance and do those things. So it just shows you a mature team. Your leaders are making plays. Man, the sky's the limit for this defense. I know it's still kind of early and everybody's praising their defense, but, man, what I'm seeing right now is a ferocious, smart, and intelligent defense.
Well, they've got – you're right, and they do. They have that mindset, and there is something to be said, you know, for the sum being greater, you know, than the individual parts. Mm-hmm. And these guys play really well together. Mm-hmm. And they've made Kevin Byard better and become, you know, they've weaponized Kevin Byard again. Yeah. You know, last yeah. year he was running all over the place like a chicken with his head cut off, trying to do too much and ultimately doing very little. You know, you see this year, you know, they've once again weaponized Byard and it's made their defense really – really good, much, much better.
Yeah, and you know, at the beginning of the season, we were really getting on Bud Dupree. Mm-hmm. But Bud Dupree is a grown man out there right now.
Yeah, he's getting better every week, no doubt.
He's physical, and he's making plays at the right time. And I know, you know, coming off injury last year, when you know, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but you can tell right now he's getting healthy, he's playing physical, he's playing fast, and he's making plays at the right time. He might not have the numbers and the sacks and everything, but he's pressuring the quarterback, and he's having strip sacks, man, that's just helping his Tennessee Titans defense.
Yeah, Ted Gwynn of The Athletic wrote, you know, a piece on what the Titans are doing. And I can't – it's really even hard to explain.
Yeah.
But it's a very complex coverage, you know, a series of coverages that mixes in a little bit of man,
yeah,
little bit of zone. You know, he talks about cover seven. But ultimately, guys, we know that what makes this defense go are guys like Autry, Simmons, Dupree, and Harold Landry.
So when I watch this Titans team, Mark, you covered it. Chris, you played it. Mm. They remind me a lot of the old Titans. The defense and the fact that the defense is led by those front four and it's making everybody better. And I think the defense now has confidence that they can go get after the quarterback. Yep. And I think it makes the secondary better. And when I watched this defense the other night with Autry and Simmons and Landry and mm-hmm. Dupree, it reminds me of Curse and Haynesworth and Kevin Carter and those guys. And I do yep. wonder this, which is the teams that you played on, Chris.
Yes.
Game like this against the Saints, it may not be pretty.
Yeah.
You guys would have found a way to win this game.
Oh,
and that's
absolutely.
Where I look at this team today, and I'm like, I know a Mike Vrabel team has no problem getting up for any team. Every time they're the underdogs, they find a way to go out there and put together a good effort. Now here's a Saints team with a backup quarterback in Trevor Siemian who couldn't even beat out Logan Woodside. They don't have Alvin Kamara.
Right.
It's a noon kickoff. It's not Sunday night football. This is a big game for this team if they're going to be like the successful teams that you played on and that you covered, Mark.
Oh, go ahead, Mark.
Well, I was going to say, remember 97, 98, 99 when you guys played the Ravens? And all those games would be low scoring.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Crazy
yeah, yeah.
scores oh, like 15, yeah. 13 yeah. and, you know, 18, 17. But I just want – and Jared is exactly yeah. right. You think about 99. Josh Evans exploded.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
John Thornton and Javon Kearse, you know, came on the team. Mm-hmm. And they went out and got – a couple of guys. Jason Fisk mm-hmm. was a huge ad. Guy named Mike Frederick, mm-hmm. who went on to Vanderbilt Business School, but beyond that. But, yeah, you know, the defensive line really kind of energized the back seven. You know, Samari, you know, mm-hmm. had come into his own. But, you know, you had thunder and lightning yeah. you know, back there at safety.
But if you look at 1995 through 1998, when I first got in the league, we were still learning how to win. And we were kind of a young – I was a young and we had a young offense, but we had a defense that's ferocious. We had the top five defense in the league, and we were still learning how to win. Then we went to Memphis, we were still learning. Then we came to Vanderbilt, we were still learning. But when we got to 1999, we figured it out, that we got to respect our opponent, we got to be great on defense, and we just got to make a couple of plays on offense, kind of like the Tennessee Titans team today.
I look at this team today, and I think, you know, for the Titans, offensively they didn't look good Sunday, but – the Rams have a good defense, and Aaron Donald looked the part of Aaron Donald. They've got Jalen Ramsey, who looked the part both good and bad
man, I would've ate his dog
of Jalen Ramsey. The Saints team has a good defense. I just look at the Titans today, and I think, hey, it's not going to be pretty. You guys in 2000 had the best team in the league. You beat a Steeler team that didn't even sniff the playoffs 9-7. Right. You know, you had to have comeback drives against, you know, a non-playoff Kansas City team in overtime. Like, it's not going to be perfect every week. But yet, y'all found a way to win. Today, the Titans have to
You got to remember, it's the NFL. I know you hate when I say it, that any team can beat any team. I mean, we just saw on Thursday, Miami beat Baltimore. And I think Baltimore's just a bunch of guys. I mean, and I say that I don't say that respectfully. I was going to say that. I just don't like Baltimore. But the thing about it is the Tennessee Titans have to go out there and play their type of ball. They got to be physical on defense, on offense. They just can't turn over the ball. Because if we look at Tannehill, if Tannehill just doesn't turn over the ball and that the defense – score points, then the Tennessee Titans are going to be successful.
In other words, for the offense, just as it happened last Sunday night, you're asking the offense maybe not to win the game, but don't lose the game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, you know, it's weird with this team. They've had phenomenal success, but Tannehill scares me. Tannehill scares me. You've got, you know, you've almost got Julio Jones living the Yancey Thigpen narrative. You know, which is, you know, can't stay healthy.
Oh, he's living the Carl Pickens narrative.
No, that's
well,
no,
Carl Pickens.
Cuss was healthy, though.
Carl actually gave them a few good games.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
When?
He gave you a few good
he
games.
He had like 400 receiving yards, which is like what Julio has now.
Yeah, well, whatever the case.
Julio gave you four catches last week.
on screens.
Carl was done. I mean, we thought Julio.
He couldn't run anymore.
That's the problem with Julio.
Had some tread left on the. But my point is, this team is flawed. Look at the offensive line. Half of those guys should be out, you know, selling insurance. I mean, seriously.
but we talked about this off the air, Jared. I know they struggle in pass pro. And the reason why they struggle on pass pro is because they're getting attacked as opposed to being on attack in the run game. Because everybody's like, well, why are they doing good in the run game but not doing it in the passing game? It's because in the running game, you're on the attack. When they're passing, they're attacking you. So there's a big, big difference. So if the Tennessee Titans can keep Tannehill clean, and Tannehill cannot throw interceptions or make fumbles. He's smiling.
There's no way they're keeping Tannehill clean today.
Not today. Not against that defense.
Okay, we said that against the Rams, and they only had 3 sacks.
I mean, they pummeled Tannehill in that game. I mean, they were beating him.
It wasn't so much the sacks. It was, the hits.
Yeah, like
it
13
the,
quarterback hits. It wasn't as bad as the Colts game, but it was.
Or the Jets.
I think about it like this, which is that the Saints have a good defense. Mm-hmm. The Saints are well coached. The Saints probably don't have a lot of firepower on offense today, which means that if Ryan Tannehill turns the football over, New Orleans is going to have a chance to win this game. If you play your game with the best punter maybe in the NFL, mm-hmm. if you play your game and you make New Orleans earn every point they get today, I like the Titans' chances of winning this game.
But it's kind of like the same scenario with the Tennessee Titans. The offense is struggling, and the defense is playing well. And the same thing with the Saints. Their offense is terrible, but their defense is good. So it's going to come down to the team that makes the least amount of mistakes. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like what you said, you can't fumble. You got to get good field position. And it might be one of those games that it is field position, and the punter might be your most valuable player. I mean, look at last week when Kern kicked that bomb, and it was at the 1 or 2 yard line. It put Stafford in a bad position because how many plays can you run at the 1 or 2 yard line?
2 weeks in a row, 2 punts from Brett Kern that have resulted immediately in 14 Titans.
That makes the difference. So that might be the difference today.
Coming up next, we're going to move the chains. We're going to take a look at the 4 biggest storylines of today's game. We are live at Rock Bottom Brewery downtown. Chris Sanders, Mark Howard, Jared Stillman. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is chilly out here, downtown Broadway, Rock Bottom Brewery. We're on the rooftop. Mark Howard, Chris Sanders. It reminds me of the days, Mark. I said this before we came on, when Chris used to do his interviews on Channel 4 with Rudy Kalas and would go on and talk about how cold he was every game.
Man, that's shoot. I don't like to play in the cold, man. We played in Cleveland.
It's like almost 50 degrees, dude.
No, it's not. Not where we're sitting.
Maybe not where we're sitting.
Well, why are you shivering? You're cold, buddy.
Because the wind is blowing.
There you go.
Time now to take a look at the 4 biggest storylines of the game. We move the chains. Move the chains brought to you by TriStar Moving. TriStar Movers with 5-star service. My official movers. We start on first down. Julio Jones placed on IR for the Titans. He'll be out for the next 3 weeks at least. Julio Jones and the Titans have a bye after that, so it'll be a month. The Titans practiced on Thursday. Teron Davenport had the video. Julio Jones in a one-on-one pulls up and walks off the field. Another hamstring injury for Julio. This is the third hamstring injury, or the third time he has re-injured this hamstring this season. Fourth, if you count training camp. Guys, we were concerned about it when they traded for him. Chris, you and I both said we wouldn't have made the trade because of the hamstring issues and the injury problems for Julio Jones. How concerned are we that the Titans may be in a really tough spot at wide receiver going forward?
I mean, it's just difficult because this is one of the guys that we were depending on this year. And me and you talked about it at the beginning of the season that we wouldn't sign him because of injuries. We got to understand, too, that he's older. So when you're older and when you get hurt, a lot of times it's hard to come back. So you just can't do that. But I think these other receivers got to step up. Johnson, I don't know if Fitzpatrick is going to be elevated to play this week. But those guys have to make plays, because if they don't make plays – and the Saints stopped the running game, where's the explosive plays going to come from? Who's the explosive receiver? Who's the explosive player on this offense? So somebody in that receiving core has to step up, and I don't know who that is. you don't know either.
Well, they've got a multitude of options. Right. You know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I mean, other than A.J. Brown,
right?
Westbrook Akeem's been pretty good. Marcus Johnson hasn't shown me anything. He had a great camp. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, I haven't seen a whole lot, no. And it's interesting that they let Josh Reynolds walk, that suddenly Dez Fitzpatrick, who went to some far-flung school in Kentucky.
Great school.
maybe he steps up today. I don't know. And that's what's been crazy about this team.
Yeah.
Somebody steps up and gets the job done. I mean, so we'll find out today.
And I just think that, you know, we may not see those explosive plays, but have a receiver that can move the chains. I mean, say if it's 3rd and 5, you run a little choice route, catch the ball. I mean, it still keeps the chains moving. We might not have that 30-yard catch or that 40-yard catch. We might get it with A.J. Brown. But other than that, one of those guys has to step up and make a catch.
A.J. Brown has 551 receiving yards on the season. Julio Jones is second at 336. Would you guys care to guess who's third on the team in receiving yards?
Pruitt.
Mark?
Wow. Swaim?
Jeremy McNichols has 214 receiving yards.
There you go.
Chester Rogers, 186. Nick Westbrook Akina, 155. I'm with you, Mark. Westbrook Akina right now is probably the second best wide receiver on the team. He has one more receiving yard than Derrick Henry this season.
But I think – does this? I'm thinking about it, too. Does this put a lot of pressure on A.J. Brown? Because I don't think the Saints are going to double A.J. Brown, so I think they're going to put Lattimore on him like they did, you know, a couple of years ago. So I think that A.J. Brown can still go up there and make those plays.
I would quadruple-team A.J. Brown today if I were the Saints.
Yeah, and we got some Saints fans over there that are mad at you for not liking Lattimore.
I'm the one guy. A.J. Brown's the one guy that can beat him. The Titans,
absolutely.
We talked about it. Titans have one receiver. They have no tight ends. They have no running backs.
But
other than that, they're pretty chugging along.
but this is where
they're maybe the best team in the NFL.
But this is where Chester Rogers can come into play. I mean, Chester Rogers had a great camp, and if you look in camp, who was Tannehill's most consistent wide receiver in camp? I know that's just in camp. It was Chester Rogers. Chester Rogers was making plays, and I think that if he can get the ball in his hands, he can make something happen.
That takes us to second down. 1 week without the King, and the Titans found a way to go to L.A. and win, but the running stats were not pretty for the Tennessee Titans. For the Titans, not pretty at all, as they were led, and this is shocking, by Deontay Foreman, 5 for 29, Jeremy McNichols, 7 for 24, and the old man Adrian Peterson, 10 for 21. Mark Howard, how concerned are we about the running backs without Derrick Henry?
Well, very concerned. I don't think it's going to get that much better. The Saints have a really good defense. They're especially good up front. And we'll see today, especially with Lawan back, hopefully, that they'll run the ball more effectively. But that's what they're going to do. You know, the Titans aren't going to just junk the running game and start throwing the ball all over the place. Right. It might be in fits and starts, but you're going to see that sort of three-headed running back situation, and maybe they can make some hay.
You know, I just think out of those three guys with Peterson, McNichols, and Foreman, somebody's got to step up and be the guy. I mean, it's just that simple. to where, you know, I know you don't want to keep switching guys in and out. You want to have a guy that gets rhythm and goes out there and keeps the chain moving. But mm-hmm. who is that guy? Is it Peterson, McNichols, or Foreman? In my opinion, the guy who looked the best last week was Foreman.
Mm-hmm.
Foreman has some powerful runs. He's running through somebody's face a couple of times. You just got to get a running back that can stay in there and be consistent, and I think it's Foreman that can do that.
I just wonder what they're going to do trying to get guys open, because the Saints, with their front four, with these three running backs, I wouldn't worry about committing anybody extra to the run. And then Tannehill's got really one true option to throw the football to. I mean, Tannehill, and I've been on Tannehill for the turnovers a lot, but it does feel like, you know, you go back to last season, he had A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Adam Humphries at times, Anthony Firkser was more of a factor, Jonnu Smith. And he didn't have any of that really this year other than A.J. Brown right now.
But see, it's going to come down to formations. And when I say formations, you go a 3-by-1, and then also the DBs can't come up and press the receivers, and you run those rub routes. That's kind of what they did, you know, a couple of games ago when they went to 3-by-1, and then a lot of those guys came up open and just make a catch and keep the chains moving. Because if you look at this receiving core, what guy scares you? A.J. Brown, that's it. Mm-hmm. So with those other guys to get them involved, Todd Downing has to do a great job by putting those guys in formations to make those guys make plays.
Yeah, they got to finally get the way the ball to get the ball to A.J. Brown for sure, and then just hope that somebody has a big game. I mean, it's crazy to think about, but you know, once Julio Jones got here, we thought that the top three receivers would be Brown, you know, Julio Jones and Josh Reynolds, and two of those guys aren't going to be here. One guy's gone for good.
In fairness, Chris never thought that about Josh Reynolds.
You didn't believe
that. That was the one. Chris has been on Josh Reynolds the whole year.
It's just, and I'm being respectful when I say this because I respect his skill set. But at the end of the day, there's no difference between him and Fitzpatrick. I was watching him in drills. I was watching how he caught the ball. I was watching the things that he did. If I'm a DB, that doesn't scare me. That doesn't scare me that you're going to beat me deep or you're going to beat me on the route, because I didn't see that explosiveness. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with Fitzpatrick.
That takes us to third down. How about that Titans defense, boys? I mean, going up against the L.A. Rams with all that firepower, Matthew Stafford, an MVP candidate, and the Titans defense absolutely shut the Rams down. They have looked fantastic. Kevin Byard with more big plays and more big moments this season. DeNico Autry and Jeffrey Simmons really gelling with Landry and Dupree. It looks like the exact opposite of last year's defense.
This defense has a nasty attitude, and again, you know, just the collective 11 out there. I mean, you take them apart individually, and the D-line's really good. You know, you're worried, you know, what's David Long's status for this game?
Because he's out.
That's not great. And, you know, you look at this team, and it's really been driven by its, front four.
You know, just looking at this defense, the one thing I love about them is they're swarming to the ball, man. It's just like a bees to honey. They're swarming. I mean, it's whoever's catching the ball, if it's a running back or wide receiver, you see 8 and 9 has to the ball. And that just shows you that guys are doing their job. When you have 11 guys doing their job, that's a recipe for success. Look at the secondary. The secondary are guys that we really don't know about. Yeah, we know Jack Rabbit Jenkins and we know Byard. But other than that, they're just guys. But that front that is putting pressure on the quarterback are making this secondary look like world beaters because they're putting pressure on the quarterback.
I look at this defense and I think to myself, if they keep this going and they can get Derrick Henry back for a stretch run, Titans got a shot to do something pretty special.
Yeah. You know, and then another thing, too, is they're not giving up the explosive plays. I mean, I understand that, you know, Kupp had 11 for 95 and Woods had 7 for 98. But did they get beat downfield? They didn't get beat down the field that much as opposed to last year.
I'm still leaving the light on for Julio Jones at the end of the season. Maybe putting him on IR is good, that they don't have to worry, you know, week to week, you know, what the deal is. And, you know, you always worry about hamstrings because, you know, it's an injury that lingers. where are the yards going to come from today?
That takes us to our fourth and final down. How about Brett Kern punting the football?
Come on, Kern.
I mean, the special teams for the Titans, which has been bad for forever, they are getting consistent play out of their punter, not a surprise, and their kicker, Randy Bullock, which very much so, Chris Sanders, is a surprise.
I mean, it really is, because when they signed him, he looked like a bigger Al Del Greco, doesn't he? He kind of
a little bit. Yeah. Kicks like one too.
But here's the thing that I love about this kid is he's consistent. I mean, I know he missed one at the Jets and everybody was mad at him, and you know, but the thing that I love about Mike Vrabel is he stuck with him and said, you know, this is our guy. But the one weapon that is really beautiful is Kern. I mean, if you look at Kern, the punts that he made last week and putting, you know, the Rams behind the chains, it was amazing. And that's why the Tennessee Titans defense was getting points.
You think about the last 2 weeks and what has keyed the victory, and it's backing the two quarterbacks up in their own end zones.
Absolutely.
And the Titans, you know, making a play both weeks. Two plays last week with the interception, but also the pick six by Byard.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Titans' offense. What are they going to do with all of these guys out? A.J. Brown and Ryan Tannehill versus the Saints. We'll get to that next. We're live from Rock Bottom. It's a pregame show on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Inside the Playbook brought to you by E2 Roofing. Trust the roofers with integrity. E2 Roofing, a veteran-owned and operated local Nashville roofer. The Titans offense did not impress on Sunday night against the Rams without Derrick Henry. They'll also be without, as we mentioned, Julio Jones today, who was placed on IR. But not only to make matters worse, the Saints actually have a pretty good defense this year. Fifth in the NFL in points allowed, 11th in total defense. They've got a front four that can get after the quarterback. Chris Sanders,
yes,
we start with you. What's your game plan on offense to get something going for the Titans?
We got to figure out the running game. I mean, I know Derrick Henry's out. We got to figure out a way to keep the chains moving. If the Tennessee Titans can do that, I know the Saints' front is pretty good, but if we establish the will at the line of scrimmage and the O-line plays well, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful.
David Questenberry has to somehow neutralize Cameron Jordan.
Oh, he's a dog.
He's got three sacks. They've also got Demario Davis, who has three sacks. They've got to keep the Saints' pass rush off of Ryan Tannehill. And also, A.J. Brown has to win his battle, or at least – a few battles with Lattimore. They're a very talented corner. And this is you know, going to be interesting because I thought that Jalen Ramsey got in A.J.'s head a little bit last week, you know, talking to him. And, you know, if it gets around the league that you can get into A.J. Brown's head, then, Chris, you know what they're going to do.
Oh, they're going to be
talk to him.
You know, and then also, you know, with this Tennessee Titans offense, Tannehill has to protect the football. I mean, I know it sounds cliche, and I know it sounds like coach talk, but if you give this Saints any life, I mean, they're going to come back and get you. I know they're not really explosive on offense, but if you give the Saints a short field because you have turnovers with interceptions and fumbles, then it can be a long day for the Titans.
Yeah, you look at New Orleans, too. You know, their back end, they've got Malcolm Jenkins, who played most of his career as a cornerback. He's a converted safety, but Marcus Williams – you know, doesn't play a lot on rundowns,
right?
But he has really good ball skills, and that's the kind of guy that scares me.
Yeah,
you know, because Tannehill sees ghosts sometimes. You know, that's a guy who can end up with the football.
You know, and then the offensive line has to play physical today. You know, Luan Saffold, you know, Davis and Jones going against that front four. I mean, that's a nice little tandem that the Saints have. So, you know, even though their front is good, the Tennessee Titans offensive line has to play physical like they did last week.
Jared, you know, I know you often, you know, talk about the now, but you look at what's going on with the Titans offensive line, and you can almost see a changing of the guard on the interior. You know, it wouldn't surprise me to see Saffold gone after this year.
What about Luan?
You know, Ben Jones, you know, what's the deal with him? And it'll be interesting to see what their evaluation is on Taylor Luan. And I know, Jared, you've been saying it, and you're right. He's spending too much time in the tub, too much time on the sidelines, and you can't have that with your left tackle. You look at the history of the left tackles – with this franchise, you know, Brad Hopkins didn't miss a lot of games.
Sure,
Mike Roos did not miss a lot of games. You know, and, you know, you go back there and you need those guys week to week.
Yeah, but the funny thing about it is they're winning. And that's the crazy
part.
That's the crazy part about it. They're 7-2 and it's shuffling of the offensive line. And if they get everybody healthy and just finish out this year and go to the Super Bowl, then I think you bust up the whole team. Because if you just take away Lawan and Saffold and Ben Jones, you know, what do you do? Do you build through the draft? Do you build through free agency? I mean, that's going to be the questions that definitely going to have to be answered.
Here's what bothers me, though, to your point about they are winning and they are 7-2. That 7-2 was built because of Derrick Henry. You know, and no disrespect to the tight. This is not a 7-2 football team right now. This is not a 7-2 offense. And then the question has to be the rest of the way, you know, against team. Now, the Saints have a good defense, but for the most part, the Titans are playing teams that they should be able to beat, like the Dolphins and the 49ers and the Texans and the Jags and you name it. And I look at this and I think to myself, you know, the offensive line has got to play better because Derek can't bail them out like I feel like maybe he has at times in the past. And they're going to have to block for Foreman, and they're going to have to block for Peterson, and they're going to have to suck it up and bow up and do it, because as hard as I've been on Tannehill for the turnovers, he can't do this by himself.
I mean, you're 100% right. I mean, and the one thing that they're really struggling in is the pass pro. I mean, the pass pro is
if it's 3rd and 13 today, you might as well hand it to McNichols on a draw and punt.
But exactly. You can't keep throwing screens because teams are going to sniff you out when you keep throwing screens. But, man, at the end of the day, on the offensive line, they just got to try their best to play consistent football. If you can play consistent football and not give up a whole bunch of sacks and let Tannehill get hit and create turnovers, you know, anything can happen.
You know, you remember the Ravens in 2000
when
they went like 5 straight weeks without an offensive touchdown.
Don't remind me.
And they still – I know. And you know what they did. They beat you guys here in a game that I still can't watch.
They had 76 yards passing.
And they won the Super Bowl.
Because of defense.
Yeah, but this Titans defense is not that good.
You don't think our Titans defense is that good?
It's good, but it's
Ray
not.
Ray Lewis, Ravens good? No.
They don't have two Hall of Famers.
You played against that defense.
They hit you in the mouth now. That's what I'm
saying. I mean, come on
They hit you in the mouth now, Doc. But here's the thing is, what better defense in the league is better than the Titans right now? I'm talking about right now. There's not too many defenses that's better than the Tennessee Titans right now.
What do we make of Tannehill's turnovers? Because it has been now a weekly occurrence, and some of these balls that he's thrown that have been intercepted – are not, well, the receiver thought he was going to run this route, and he ran that route. I mean, it's just Tannehill panicking at the rush and just throwing the ball right to the defender, and you can't do that today and expect to win.
No, I think it's troubling, and I've been a Ryan Tannehill guy, but he doesn't look like the same quarterback, from the last 2 years. You know, a guy who was really efficient, didn't make those bad throws, and you worry, you do, it's in his capacity to play better, but he's got to stay aggressive though and keep throwing the ball downfield.
You know, I just went back and looked at film and just kind of wondered to see why he's struggling so much. Is number one, he's staring down his receiver, and if you're a quarterback and you're staring down your receiver, the safeties and corners are going to read your eyes. And number two, he's not really going through his progressions. He's not going through his first and second and third read. He's just staring down the receiver. So if I'm a defensive back and I see you staring down the receiver, that's where I'm going. Because you look at the interceptions that he had against Indy, he stared down the receiver. If you look at last week, he stared down the receiver. So he just got to go through his progression and let the play develop so he can make the right read.
What do you think that Todd Downing needs to do today with not a ton of options in the passing game? We know the Saints are going to lock in on A.J. Brown.
Right.
The Saints should lock in on A.J. Brown. What do you think Todd Downing does today to get guys open?
You know, other guys got to step up and make plays, and we talked about that. But then Todd Downing also has to do is put the formation on the guys to be successful, just like I talked about it, you know, earlier in the show. It's going like a 3-by-1 so those corners can play off so you can have some rub routes. I mean, even though we might not have no explosive plays downfield, a 20- or 30-yard catch, but maybe if you catch a 10-yard and make something happen after the catch. And then another thing Todd's going to have to do, he's going to have to figure out a way to get some plays running the ball. I mean, you have to. You can't just sit up there, just like I agree with Mark, and sit back there and chug it 50 times, because that's not Tannehill's game. They got to figure out a way with those three backs or those receivers to throw a quick screen and use it as a running game.
Still, if I'm the Saints today, my game plan is take away A.J. Brown from that offense and just tell the Titans, if you beat us, you beat us.
Mm. What kind of premium do we place on punting today in the game? Because – you know, we've seen the Titans over the last couple of years. Usually they played Jacksonville, and Jacksonville had a great defense, but Blake Bortles at quarterback. And we said punting was a good thing.
Absolutely.
Today, I mean, look, nobody wants to go 3 and out. But I do think that a punt is not a bad thing. To try to, for example, you know, throw a ball that you shouldn't throw necessarily because you're afraid of getting sacked, I'd rather take the sack and bring on the punter. Kern has been awesome so far, but for Titan fans, how much should we look at a punt as not a loss?
Oh, absolutely. And they've been playing the field possession game, field position game the past few weeks. I think it's it's one of the missing arts or one of the hidden arts, I guess, in the NFL of how teams win. Mm-hmm. You know, they always talk about hidden yardage, you know, in special teams and everything else. Starting field position is absolutely huge. And with a team like New Orleans, you want to make Trevor Siemian drive the length of the field. Do it, bro. If you if you get him in the end zone, God bless. But that's what the game plan is. It's not like Drew Brees is back there anymore, and he can score from any point in the field.
Yeah.
With Trevor Siemian, it's let him go down there, let him drive the length of the field, because eventually he'll make a mistake.
Yeah, and it puts pressure on the offense. I mean, look at what it did to Stafford. When you're at the 1 yard line, how many plays can you call? And then all of a sudden you have a situation where David Long Jr. Gets an interception. Why? Because, you know, the pressure of the defense, and he throws an interception. So, man, I'm telling you, you're 100% right that, you know, a punt is a good thing, and it puts a pressure on the offense that's struggling the whole season.
I wonder in this game, who's the guy who's going to step up? Now, we'll have our picks to click to make that. But I wonder, does the coaching staff go out there and say, hey, we need a big game from this guy? Or do you just have that guy show up and have a big game for you?
Well, your best players are the guys you expect big games from. But you want to have that collective mentality that somebody's going to step up and, you know, maybe play their best game of the year. And they've given an opportunity to guys like Westbrook Akeen and Chester Rogers. And, you know, it's been crazy. I mean, even Jeff Swaim, who might not have turned out to be the best blocker, has been at least a body that they can throw the ball to at tight end. I don't know what the deal is with Firkser. Yeah. It just makes me nuts that he hasn't become, you know, a more productive player. But, yeah, I mean, you look around and you hope somebody steps up.
I think this goes on Todd Downing, the offense coordinator, is he's got to find the matchups. I mean, just imagine if you have Chester Rogers in the slot and he's going against the safety. You go take advantage of that because, you know, everybody's going to – their defense is going to take out A.J. Brown. So those guys had to step up like Rogers. I don't know if Johnson's going to be activated, but those guys, those role players have to play a big role in making some plays. It doesn't have to be a 70-yard touchdown or a 50-yard catch. All you got to do is catch that 10-yard pass to keep the chains moving. I think they can be successful.
Can I send out the bat signal for Anthony Firkser today?
What is it?
To me, this is – like, his career, honestly, you know, he's a guy on a one-year contract. He's not making a lot of money. He's a former practice squad guy. He's hit free agency twice, and nobody around the league has really bit much on him. His career may be hanging in the balance for these last handful of games down the stretch.
But why do you think he's not catching the ball? Do you think it's because the Todd Downing is keeping him in the block?
I think knee injury, I think that set him back in training camp. The second thing is I think his lack of ability to stay on the field in running downs is much bigger when he's not a specialty player with Jonnu Smith ahead of him, and I think that's an issue here.
Yeah, if he's not catching passes, then he's just taking up space.
Coming up next, let's talk about some good. The defense. The Titans defense. Mark, you brought up Trevor Siemian. Alvin Kamara out today for the Saints. Michael Thomas has been out for the Saints. So how does the Titans defense stop Trevor Siemian? And how much is on their plate in order to help the offense and maybe even win the game today for the Titans? We will discuss that next. It is the pregame show live from Rock Bottom Brewery downtown. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Inside the Playbook brought to you by E2 Roofing. Trust the roofers with integrity. E2 Roofing, a veteran-owned and operated local Nashville roofer for the New Orleans Saints. Trevor Siemian is at quarterback. Trevor Siemian got the nod for the Broncos after Peyton Manning retired in 2016. He was not very good. And then after a couple of seasons, he was shipped off, a backup with the Jets, signed by the Titans in training camp of 2020, did not beat out Logan Woodside. That may not have been a fair competition. He was then later claimed by the Saints, who had him as their third-string quarterback behind Drew Brees and Jameis Winston. So much for Sean Payton's Taysom Hill as a franchise quarterback line from a couple of years ago. Trevor Siemian is in his career. Trevor Siemian, 59.2% completion percentage in 29 games as a quarterback. He has a career record of 13-13 as a starter. He's got 33 touchdowns and 24 interceptions for Trevor Siemian. He's out there today against the Titans.
Well, I think the Titans front four should have a big day.
Yeah.
The Saints left tackle, James Hurst, is beatable. You know, he's kind of stiff, and he has trouble handling speed around the edge. Their interior line with Cesar Ruiz and Eric McCoy are undersized. So Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry, you know, should be able to have some success against them. And you know, what we've learned, especially around this league, that even with the best of quarterbacks, a good interior rush will destroy or at least discombobulate an opposing offense.
Man, that wind is blowing. But
yes.
But, I mean, just looking at I think what was he talking about again? I just lost my train of thought.
Trevor Siemian.
Oh, what we got to do for him, we just got to do what we did to Stafford. We just got to make sure that he's uneasy in the pocket. When you have a guy like that that really doesn't have that much experience and has been playing, you know, not really good the last couple of years, you just got to make him make mistakes. And the one thing they definitely can't do is give up their explosive plays. I mean, I understand they may not have some big-name receivers, but there's one guy that's a Titans killer is Kenny Stills, mm-hmm. a guy that has speed. So even though we don't know a lot about their receivers, they still have a couple of guys that can go down and make some plays down the field. So, you know, even though, you know, Siemian is not playing well, he still can beat you with some of those guys at their receivers.
What do we make of Taysom Hill and the role that he may play, given the fact that Alvin Kamara is out and given the fact that, quite frankly, that they don't have a lot of weapons right now on offense.
But you can use him in the Wildcat. I mean, what else can you do? You can put him maybe a little bit at H-back like that, but there's not too many things you can do. You put him at the Wildcat and keep the chains moving, but he's still not going to be able to have those explosive plays because they just don't have an explosive offense.
No, but what Taysom Hill is, he's a great Swiss Army knife. You know, he can do so many things for that offense. And it's like you said, he can keep the chains moving, man.
Yep.
And, you know, possession, you know, is going to be a huge thing today.
Yeah.
So the Saints' offense, by gimmickry or whatever, are going to rely on what they have to do today.
You know, and I think, too, they definitely have to get off on third down. I mean, mm-hmm. they're going to – I mean, I know that sounds funny, but the team that's going to win today is the team that leads in time of possession. I mean, because you have two offenses that are struggling. You have two quarterbacks that are not playing well. But at the end of the day, if you keep the chains moving and keep your offense off the field, and I think they can be successful.
What do we make of Mark Ingram back in New Orleans as the running back? Not as old as Adrian Peterson, a little bit more experience with his current team than Peterson has with the Titans. But I would expect to see a lot of Mark Ingram today, except for the fact that the Titans have been pretty good against the run. Now, David Long Jr., who has been fantastic, is out. But how do we feel about Mark Ingram?
Well, Mark Ingram's a journeyman. I mean, Mark Ingram is a decent player. But, you know, he's not the guy who was with the Saints earlier in his career. And, yeah, you know, that's another thing with this Titans defense. They get off the field. They're good against the run. If they do that today, then they should have some success.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, Ingram's about 750 years old. He still runs mad. I mean, he still has an attitude. He can still play this game. So, you know, he might not have those big runs like 10 or 15 yards, but if he gets seven, you know, six, stand in front of the chains, that's a benefit by leading in time of possession. So, you know, he might not have that 70-yard run, but if they keep those chains moving, this can be something big for the Saints.
What do we think about Sean Payton's ability? I mean, we know he's a great offensive coach, and he's going to go to the Hall of Fame probably as an offensive head coach.
Yeah.
What do we think about kind of the chess match here with Sean Payton? We were talking about Todd Downing given his limited options. He's going to have to find ways to get guys open. Sean Payton has made a career out of finding ways to get guys open. Now, Drew Brees has probably helped him along the way a lot. But what do we make of the chess match here with Sean Payton against Shane Bowen and the Titans defense?
Well, Sean Payton is one of the best offensive minds in the game. And, you know, losing Drew Brees was, you know, absolutely huge. You know, championship coaches are usually tied to Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Sure.
And they're looking for their next quarterback. I'm not sure if it's Jameis Winston. I have, you know, have my doubts. But whatever the case, in a situation like this, he can prop Simeon up and make him somewhat effective. He's going to get Simeon to play within himself. But, yeah, he'll find mismatches. He'll find ways to get guys open. And like I said, this is going to be kind of a don't turn it over first team to 20 kind of game.
Yeah, the one thing I love about Payton is he's going to out-scheme you. And I know that kind of sounds cliche, it's a coach talk. But even though he might not have the players or the wide receivers or the running back, he's still going to figure out a way to out-scheme you. So that's kind of what scares me about him, because he'll make something out of nothing. When you have a coach that does something like that, he's going to figure out a way to beat the Tennessee Titans in that stadium, in the Nissan Stadium.
One thing that's great about good defensive lines, and we saw it last year when the Bucs Super Bowl run, when the Bucs got hot, especially with their defensive line, is you can be the greatest offensive coach in the world, and you can have the greatest quarterback in the world. And Trevor Siemian is not that. But you can be all those things, and if you've got a great defensive line, it can neutralize that. How confident are we that Autry, Simmons, Landry, and Dupree can continue to do what they've done over the last couple of weeks?
I don't think it's a fluke, and it's really the one constant with this team. So, you know, I would say, I expect another good game out of them. That doesn't mean the Titans are going to win, but these guys, their pressure has generated turnovers. I mean, bad turnovers. And again, an interior rush completely throws a quarterback off his game. And he starts making, you know, throws that he normally wouldn't. And again, we've seen it the last 2 weeks. The Titans have, reaped the benefits of that really good interior rush, especially down near the goal line.
Yeah, but the one thing that's special about this defense, the last 4 or 5 weeks, they've been consistent. I mean, if you look at the last couple of years, you saw an inconsistent defense. Look at what they did in the last 4 or 5 games. I mean, they put in pressure on the quarterback. The back end's been playing well. And then also, too, you know, if you look at last year, they struggled in making tackles. Look at the tackles that they're making this year. You got the secondary, you know, tackling guys and making plays and swarming to the ball. So, you know, even though, you know, Simeon is out there, they're still going to attack him like he's a veteran quarterback.
So I do have to have a little mea culpa here, if I may.
A what?
A mea culpa.
What is that?
Sort of a confession.
Okay.
So 4 weeks ago, I sat up here with Mark Howard, and I said, at the end of these 4 weeks against the Bills, the Chiefs, the Colts, and the Rams, everybody in town will want to run Shane Bowen, Titans defensive coordinator, out of town.
Including you?
Well, I was going to lead the charge. I said after the Jacksonville win that I had seen enough of Shane Bowen, not that I would have made the move, but that the next 4 weeks would give us clarity and would make it obvious that a move has to be made. Shane Bowen's a pretty good job. At least the defense has played pretty well with Shane Bowen coordinating said defense. So Shane is now off the hot seat, at least for right now.
If they lose,
I think it's pretty funny because – there was an article in The Athletic. Shane Bowen was mentioned as, you know, among the next wave of head coaches in the league.
Please take him. Please take him.
Well, he's done a great job.
No, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Last year they were terrible. They improved. They improved in every facet of the game. The secondary is improved, right?
Well, the secondary is improved because the pass rush is getting home to the quarterback.
Hold your horses, big guy. Okay, third down was terrible last year, right? They improved on third down. Getting a pass rush, they're getting after the quarterback. Three things we talked about last year that they didn't do well, they're doing great this year. Why? Because of Shane Bowen.
No, because they went out and paid the money for Bud Dupree and DeNico Autry. That's why.
But you still got to put him in position to make plays.
Sure, but the reality was that they spent money on Clowney last year and Beasley last year, and they were running Derek Roberson out there and Tazar Skipper, and they realized John Robinson said, no more bargain basement deals. I got to go pay the money. He went out and paid the money. Now, it cost you Jonnu Smith.
Right.
And now we look at offense, and there's nobody at wide receiver anymore other than A.J. Brown. But it was to shore up the defense. I think the reality is for the defense, and maybe Bowen can get a little credit for this, is Autry and Dupree becoming healthy. Autry is a bad boy. Adding those guys on the line has made everybody better. And true. David Long Jr., who's going to be out today, which is a big loss, David Long Jr. kind of coming into his own as a star middle linebacker for this team has been what's elevated the entire defense.
But also Shane Bowen has to understand what his players are good at. You know what I'm saying? And when I said, look at Simmons ran a twist to get to Stafford last year because he knows that Simmons can get there because of his speed and his strength. So you have to know your players. You got to know who does this. You got to know what Autry does well. So even though you may have a lot of good players, you still have to figure out as a defensive coordinator to put these guys in the right position to excel.
I think Bowen is.
Good God.
I'm just saying.
This guy.
There's
take
seven
him.
And
take
two,
him.
Man.
Did
he,
sure. Who,
okay, let me ask you a question. This is a Floyd Reese moment right here. Who would you get? Who's out there that would make this defense better than what it is right now?
Jim Schwartz.
Get out of here. I'm not talking about somebody that's on the team, man. I'm talking somebody.
I wonder, and we've had callers call in this week that have asked how much of this has to do with Jim Schwartz. And I'm like, Vrabel will never tell you, even if it's all Jim Schwartz, even if it's not. Vrabel will never tell you. Schwartz will never tell you. They will never tell you the reality. But,
Okay, you can answer my question, mister.
I don't think Jim Schwartz is the shadow defensive coordinator.
I didn't say he was.
I think he's helped. I think his input has been good. But I think you really underestimate Shane Bowen now that that Vrabel, you know, has really handed him the defense.
Okay, you didn't answer my question. Who is out there? If you let Shane Bowen go right now, who's out there you would get?
I definitely answered it. I said Jim Schwartz.
No. I'm not talking about on the Titans team. I'm talking about who would you
get? I could make anybody defensive coordinator.
Stop it, Jared. That's an easy one to get.
And I would have got Dean Pease last year, but I don't know if Ian Vrabel will see eye to eye, so I don't know.
Answer the question, mister.
Coming
who would you
up
get?
Next. I said Bowen's off the hot seat. That means they don't have to fire him right now. Coming up next, who's in, who's out? We'll take a look at the inactive, some big names for the Titans, especially surprising names. As well, and then we'll take a look at the Saints, and we'll have Mike Vrabel's key to a Titans victory. We'll do that next, right here on the rooftop at Rock Bottom Brewery. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Time now to take a look at the inactives, who's in and who is out, as well as Mike Vrabel's key to the game, which are brought to you every week by Hillside Medical Clinic. Out today for the New Orleans Saints, Alvin Kamara is inactive with a knee injury. Teron Armstead out with a knee/shoulder injury. Nick Vannett is out.
By the way, every time Alvin Kamara's name comes up, I think about him at Tennessee. Not good enough to start.
So I have some thoughts about that.
What the hell was Butch Jones thinking?
I don't know.
I think he promised Jalen Hurd the ball.
I don't care who he promised the ball.
He's
good God, woo. Man. You know, Jalen Hurd has been a marginal player in the NFL.
That's unbelievable.
With San Francisco. Alvin Kamara's a huge star, great kid. They loved him at Tennessee.
Wasn't he on his way to, like, Jalen Hurd being the all-time leading rusher at Tennessee? And then
I'll ask you,
what was Lloyd Carr thinking not playing Tom Brady? You know, like, people ask questions like that all the time. No. I remember Alvin Kamara at Tennessee going out of bounds on a fourth down against Vanderbilt short of the sticks. That's what I think of when I think of Alvin Kamara at Tennessee.
Man, he's probably one of the best running backs I've seen, just his versatileness. I mean,
he's a great player.
He can catch the ball, he can play receiver, he can run the routes. And, you know,
what did you guys say last segment about Sean Payton? One of the best offensive minds in the game. I think that helps, with a talent like that. Kamara is out. Teron Armstead is out. Nick Vannett is out. Lil Jordan Humphrey is out. Andrew Dowell is out. And Jalen Holmes is out. Also other out for the Saints but have been added to IR, so they don't count. Corner C.J. Gardner-Johnson is out today for the Saints, and Peyton Turner is out as well. Inactive for the Titans, cornerback Greg Maben, who's out with an injury. Linebacker David Long Jr. Is inactive with a hamstring. Linebacker Rashawn Evans with an ankle is out. Tackle Bobby Hart inactive today for the Titans.
Bobby.
He was your starting left tackle.
He was inactive last week.
No, he played last week.
Yeah, he was inactive.
Bobby Hart is inactive. Dylan Raidens.
Ooh.
Slam dunk in the second round is inactive. And Tier Tart, defensive lineman, is out today with a groin injury.
You didn't say Julio, did you?
Julio's on IR.
Oh, all right. Oh, that's right.
So Julio has been added to IR. David Long Jr., Rashawn Evans out today. I would expect Monty Rice to be next to Jayon Brown. What do we make of that?
Monty Rice has actually been a pretty solid guy. Mm-hmm. They thought of him as a special teams player when they drafted him. But the fact is at Georgia, where he was injured a lot, he was a really good rundown linebacker. So it's going to be interesting to see when he gets his opportunity. He's been decent here, you know, as a fill-in. But, you know, they've got to go pretty deep on the depth chart today, especially for a decent defensive line rotation.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at with David Long Jr. been out, I mean, just look at what he's done in the last four or five games.
He's been great.
I mean, he's been fantastic. And in the beginning of the year, nobody was talking about him. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he's just playing with an edge. He's always around the ball. I mean, just one game, I can't remember the game, but he had like 14 tackles. I mean, that's insane for a linebacker. So we're going to definitely miss him. But just like you said, somebody's going to have to step up and have the mentality that Mike Vrabel says, next man up, got to make plays.
Taylor Lewan returns to the lineup today with Bobby Hart being inactive. What do we make of LaRon's return, and what is expected of him given the fact that he has been so in and out of the lineup?
I mean, just inconsistent. If you look at the first game that they played, I mean, he looked like his technique, like he's never played left tackle before. So he's going to come out here and play well. I understand that he does well in the run game. I want to make sure he's good in pass pro. I want to see how he can handle the rush that the Saints are going to bring today. So I'm glad that we have him back. I'm glad that, you know, he's one of their guys. But at the end of the day, I want to see Lewan play consistent football and play physical football like he did his first year.
You know, if you talked to me at the beginning of the year and mentioned Lewan, I would have thought of a guy who I expect to give me a Pro Bowl level effort every week, because that's who he's supposed to be, and that's who he was his first few years here. I'm not sure what kind of player he is anymore. He's often injured. You know, which you know, just happens. But, you know, you wonder now how good the Titans are at that position. And that's going to be one that's going to be interesting into the off season when John Robinson starts thinking about this team, you know, two or three years down the line. But as far as today, you know, good to have him back in there because he's better than all their other options.
Yeah. Kendall Lamb, by the way, also active, which is why Dylan Raidens is inactive
today like
for the
Titans. You don't like that pick, do you?
Raidens. I didn't like it at the time. You guys were sitting there when I lost my mind over that Dylan Raidens pick. And so far, Dylan has done absolutely nothing to prove me wrong. Des Fitzpatrick is active today for the Titans at wide receiver.
You know, it's funny because when he went to that situation, I got his number from TD, and I texted him. I said, man, you need to stay ready because at any time you can have the opportunity to make some plays. Here's your opportunity.
I talked to the Louisville coaches, and they said Dez is a good kid, but they knew he was going to need some time when he entered the league. And so they were surprised to see him cut.
Right.
But I think that they knew that Dez had the potential to be an NFL player. That's what they told me. Now, does that mean that Dez is going to go out there and catch eight balls today? I don't know, but Dez will be active.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Titans are a pretty patient organization. And, you know, he got caught up in a numbers game. And they felt like, you know, they could cut him and bring him back and put him on the practice squad. But to his credit, he has continued to work. Mm-hmm. And they feel like he improved enough that they could cut Josh Reynolds.
Mike Vrabel's keys to the game presented by Hillside Medical Clinic. The Saints are loaded on defense. So what is Mike Vrabel going to do?
Well, I think they just have really good players. I think they're sound.
Chris, how worried are we about the good players the Saints have on defense.
You know, I'm not really worried about their defense. I'm worried about what Tannehill does on the offense. If he gets hit and starts fumbling the ball and throwing interceptions, that's kind of what I'm worried about. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand their front four and their front three are really good, and they'll get after the quarterback. But I just think at the end of the day, if Tannehill protects the football, doesn't fumble, doesn't throw interceptions, and just makes the plays and keeps the chain moving, I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I think one of the Saints, one of the cornerstones of their game plan today is going to be to pressure Tannehill, and they feel like they can get some turnovers. And, yeah, I think the turnover battle is huge in a game like this.
Yep, and I think for also, too, is when they do bring that rush, I think Peterson and McNichols and Foreman have to make sure their pass pro is good to prevent Tannehill from getting hit. So it's so many things that could happen, but if Tannehill protects the football and doesn't fumble, then they can do some things.
Coming up next, we'll chat with TD, who's at the stadium.
Come on,
TD. What do we think about the Titans? Who's looked good in warmups? How about Taylor Lewan as he makes his return?
Every time he looks, somebody pulls a hammy.
TD will join us next here on the program, live from Rock Bottom Brewery downtown. It's the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, Mark Howard, live at Rock Bottom Brewery. It is the pregame show. We take it to Nissan Stadium, where Teron Davenport is hanging out. TD's appearances on the NFL pregame show are brought to you by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD back in the lineup today for the Titans is Taylor Lewan with the knee injury, a knee injury that he has, you know, last year tore his ACL, re-injured it in warmups in week two, and it has been an ongoing issue. How did Taylor Lewan look this morning during warmups?
Taylor Lewan looked fine doing warm-ups, and that's a good thing because, you know, the warm-ups haven't been kind to him at least twice this season. So that was good. I got to see him exchange pleasantries with Cam Jordan. You know, that's going to be a battle they'll have. So I wouldn't have any concerns there. And Kendall Lamb is there to back him up if need be. But I respect Lewan to be full go, and that's a great thing for this offense, especially against that Saints defense that's so good against the run.
TD, Josh Reynolds released this week, Julio Jones placed on IR, Dez Fitzpatrick added and active today. What do we expect the wide receiver rotation to look like?
Yeah, so obviously A.J. Brown, but they'll mix in Marcus Johnson. I expect Westbrook McKinney to get the start. Fitzpatrick, he was, you know, signed to the active roster, which was a great thing for him after everything that he's been through. You know, kind of clawed his way back, so that's a good thing. But I would expect it mostly to be Westbrook McKinney and Marcus Johnson at that Z spot, but they'll work them at X too, because as you know, they move the receivers around.
We're speaking, of course, to Teron Davenport, Titans beat writer for ESPN and ESPN.com. TD, you know, again, the focus is going to be on the Titans front four, or the lads, as I like to call them. You know, that's right, Landry, Autry. Yeah. Dupree and Simmons, but do you feel like again this is going to be a matchup they can take advantage of, the Saints interior line?
Yeah, I think the Saints interior line is really good. I like that guard center guard combo, you know, especially Eric McCoy is one of my favorite centers in the league. So I don't know that they'll be able to take advantage there, but the left tackle position with no Teron Armstead, that's going to be huge. And, I mean, it's going to be big for the lads. As you call, I guess you like lads better than Tickle Monster. I don't know. But, you know, it's going to be big for them. I think the stunts and the things that they're able to do that way, that's one way that they could beat that interior part of it. But that guard-center-guard combo is really solid for the Saints. So I'm not sure that there's an advantage there. And Tyrann Charter is out.
In my mind, on the offensive side, the key matchup is going to be Marshawn Lattimore and probably some safety help against A.J. Brown. What about how does that factor into this game?
Yeah, I don't know for sure that they're going to have much safety help. I think they trust Lattimore to be able to cover A.J. Brown one-on-one. And if they do have safety help, that'll open things up immensely on the opposite side of it, because they like to use Jenkins down in the box so much, almost as a linebacker. And that's basically what he's morphed into, you know, at his later days in the league. So that's a good matchup, though, to watch. I just want to see the physicality of it, you know, and that's something that I asked A.J. about, you know, after going against Jalen Ramsey and how he is. You know, this week you got another guy who he doesn't verbally get into your mind. He tries to physically with you know, just getting his hands on you. Then, actually, I was talking to James Palmer from NFL.com, and he said that, you know, Lattimore has the cast off. Now he'll be able to use the two-hand bar, right, instead of just, you know, one hand on each side. So that's going to make it a lot more interesting, too, just seeing that matchup.
TD, what's going on, man? You doing all right?
Hey, every day's a good day. Today's
good,
man.
Hey, just looking at this Tennessee Titans offense, and one of the struggles has been Tannehill. Why do you think Tannehill is throwing so many interceptions and not going through his progression? What do you think the reason why he's throwing so many interceptions?
Yeah, I think accuracy has been a big issue. There's a couple of throws. You know, one that really stands out is the one against the Bills, right, when Julio Jones was running that same route, and he was late on it, and he also sailed it, and Porter picked it off, and next thing you know, it's a turnover. So I think accuracy has been a big thing. He really just needs to just settle in and you know, get back to the ways that he had in the previous time. So the tight window throws, like he's still making those, but it's not as accurate this season. So that's what I credit it to.
You know, just looking at the running back situation, you had Foreman that had 29 yards last week. You had Peterson that had 21 yards. You had McNichols that had 24 yards. Which running back needs to step up and just take ownership of this position to help the Tennessee Titans with a victory?
I think you're going to see mostly Deontay Foreman. He ran the ball the best out of those guys. And you're starting to see just like I think roles are going to kind of get settled into where AP, he's going to be a short yardage guy. You have Foreman just, you know, doing whatever. And then third downs, you have McNichols. But one note about Adrian Peterson, I asked him about just, you know, being slow to the hole and exploding through it, because last week that wasn't really the case. You know, he wasn't really giving blocks time to develop. And he said that was just a part of him being a little amped up and having too much juice. So this week, he's making it his business to kind of tone that down so that way he can use that vision and squirt through those different holes, you know, as they develop. You know how the backside hole develops. You have to have that vision to marry your eyes and your feet. And that's something that I talked to him about. But then in addition to that, I thought it was funny that he said he watched film with his his 10-year-old son. And his son, you know, told him, "You're running too high." So that's another thing he said. It's going to be a goal to not run high like that.
TD, what do you remember about Trevor Siemian last year at training camp? Obviously, the 2020 training camp was a weird one, and they brought Siemian in the middle of camp, and he still ended up losing the battle to Woodside. He starts for the Saints today. What did you remember about that, seeing him in practice on a daily basis, and what do you think about him today?
I remember medium to short yardage accuracy. He was very, very precise with those throws, but when it comes time to stretch the field, it ain't happening. So that's you know, the way I look at it. I think this Titans defense, you know, they're not going to have to play top down the same as they had to against, you know, Mahomes, against Josh Allen, against Matthew Stafford. They're going to be able to condense the field a little bit more, which is actually good for what they want to do because, you know, obviously the goal is to stop the run because the Saints have, you know, really become run heavy. So with Siemian, I just, you know, short yardage accuracy, that was the main thing. Timing and rhythm, so that's why it's really important for these guys on the outside, right? They need to cause some chatter at the line of scrimmage with the receivers. They got to get in their chops, you know what I mean? Slow them up a little bit, knock off that timing, because that's what Siemian is. He's a precise timing passer.
I was going to say, Teron, what about Brett Kern? You look at the last 2 weeks, the Titans have pinned offenses, you know, near their own goal lines, and big plays have happened, game changers. How does that aspect feed into today?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge thing, right? When you have the complementary football style that these guys play, a big part of that is field position. Who flips the field better than Brett Kern? I don't think there's many. And you saw last week what he was able to do, you know, pin the Rams back, and that you know, stalled another one of their drives, and that gave the Titans really good field position on offense. So his just excellence as a punter, you know, there aren't many who could do what he does. So he's big time, you know, for the defense. And anytime I think of Brett Kern, I think of what Dean P said. He's the defensive MVP.
You know, TD, the Saints really don't have that much explosiveness on their offense. but they do have a guy named Taysom Hill. What do you think the Tennessee Titans could do if he's in the game, if they have him in receiver or they have him in wildcat? What can the Tennessee Titans do to actually stop Taysom from actually beating him?
Man, just come up and punch him in his lips. Isn't that what you're saying, right? That's really what you have to do. Every time he gets the ball, you have to physically pound him.
And he's a dude, man.
I don't care how, you know, how big he is or anything like that. He is someone that I think if you just physically bring it to him just from the start, that's going to take away from it. And I think really, you know, it's all about making those plays that they do become losses, right? Because that right. will influence Peyton to get away from it. But one of the things that they also do with him so much is they use him as a decoy, right? So you bring all the attention to his side, and then they'll run a screen to the opposite right. side, like to Harris or somebody. So I think you have to be aware of where he is. But whenever he gets the football, you got to knock his block off.
Teron Davenport, as always, ESPN, ESPN.com, talking with TD Podcast. And, of course, you can hear him across all of our shows here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. TD, appreciate
Come
you.
Come on, Sam.
And I will not say what Chris Sanders told me to say, as always. TD, because he's one of the freshest-looking guys on SportsCenter yesterday,
was
or
he?
2 days ago. They don't put Sam Cassell on SportsCenter, Chris.
Well, that's what
appreciate
I said. Chris Sanders was like, he's a darker version of Reggie Theus. Look it up.
Reggie Theus.
That's my guy, TD.
Appreciate you, TD.
Appreciate you, TD.
All right, fellas.
Appreciate
yep.
you,
TD joining us, as always, from Nissan Stadium.
That's my guy right there, man.
I got one thing I've got to complain about before we get to our picks to click.
What's that?
The Titans, they're going to be wearing the dark blue jerseys with the light blue
oh
pants.
Oh, my gosh.
I hate the light blue pants. Let me just say right now that the Titans' light blue pants are the ugliest pants in the NFL. Like, of 32 teams that have, like, three different pant colors, so what is that? Like, 100 pants combinations in the NFL. The light blue pants are the Titan light blue pants are the worst pants in the NFL. And then the second thing on that is when they wear them with the navy blue jerseys, it is absolutely downright hideous. Your thoughts, what? Chris?
Huh? I don't know what to say on that one, man. But with the pants?
Did you not like the light blue pants when you played?
Man, them was sweet, man. It was cold,
oh,
man.
Oh, my goodness.
Out of all the things about the game, you don't like the pants.
I hate the pants. Got to use my platform to talk about how much I don't like the pants. Man. Also, if you're watching on the stream, I am standing behind Mark Howard because I am standing in the sun.
Oh, my gosh.
Because
cold.
Sitting in the shade is so, so, so cold. Oh, my goodness. I wish Derrick Henry was out there today, but not in those light blue pants because those light blue pants are downright hideous. And I cannot. I think the Titans were around for about 10 years before they started wearing light blue pants, and ever since then it's been downhill.
Love your blue, man. Come on, love your blue.
Oh, it's awful. Oh, it's awful. Coming up next, picks to click. Who's got a click for the Titans to take care of the Saints? We'll get into that coming up next. Plus, we'll take a look at the sports books and make our game day predictions. That's all coming up. It's the pregame show live from Rock Bottom Brewery on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Picks to click on the pregame show are brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment every single week. I have to give credit where credit is due because if I don't give credit, then he will get mad. But last week, I mistakenly thought Caroline Fenton had made Jeffrey Simmons her pick to click.
Thank you.
And Chris Sanders texted me to make sure that I informed the people
Absolutely.
That it was Chris who had Jeffrey Simmons as his pick to click last week. I actually forgot who my pick to click was. And then I was reminded it was Kevin Byard.
Oh,
I like that pick to click right there.
No,
going with Kevin Byard, I'm just saying. But Chris Sanders
yes, sir.
Nailing it with Jeffrey Simmons against the Rams. Nobody really clicked on offense,
no.
to be completely frank. Time now for our picks to click today. Chris, who's got a click offensively for the Titans?
I'm going to go with Tannehill. And the reason I'm going with Tannehill, if he can just protect the football and let the defense win it for you, I think that the Tennessee Titans are going to win. I just don't want to see Tannehill get hit and fumble and throw interceptions and keep this Saints game, this Saints team in the game. And he's my pick to click.
Do you think if you were coaching him, you'd tell him to keep it safe today?
You just want to keep it safe. I understand he's reckless, just kind of, you know, what Mark kind of saying. But you don't want him to play scared. You want him to play his game. You want him to do what he does. But at the end of the day, you want to protect the football and not fumble and throw interceptions. So if you do that, then you got a team that's been struggling. I know they're 5-3, a team that's not playing well on offense. You give them the ball, and all of a sudden they get a chance to win.
Mark, who's your pick to click offensively?
I want Taylor Lewan to play like Taylor Lewan. That's all.
I mean,
not asking too much.
I mean, normally, like, when we do this, you think about, you know, wide receivers and yards and running back. But I think it's a great point. I mean,
I agree.
Pass rush for the Saints today is no joke. TD brought up Cam Jordan against Lewan. I certainly think that's a matchup that if New Orleans is going to win this game, they're going to beat the Titans' offensive line and force Tannehill into some mistakes.
And we've seen it. It's like Teron said. He's had accuracy issues. You know, you just hope that there aren't a few wayward passes that really decide this game.
Yep. I'm going to go offensively. My pick to click, Nick Westbrook Akina.
You don't even like him.
I do not. But somebody has got to help A.J. Brown out today. My options were him, Swaim, who I gave a game ball to after the performance against the Rams. It was either that or one of the running backs, and I'm going to go with Westbrook Akina. I mean, somebody has to step up, Chris. You were there in 2000 when Yancey Thigpen got hurt for the umpteenth time, and Carl Pickens was no good, and Kevin Dyson tore his ACL, and you and Derek Mason had career seasons for the Titans. I'm not saying Nick Westbrook Akina is Chris Sanders, but I am saying that he's going.
Chris Sanders against Jason Sehorn.
Ate
him up.
Come on, talk to me, big
guy. Going to need a Chris Sanders-like performance today out of Nick Westbrook Akina, even though he plays nothing like you.
But you know, even though he doesn't have a whole bunch of yards, how many yards he had? Like you said, 150?
He has one more than Derrick Henry.
One. but he's still making some clutch touchdowns. I mean, even though they're like 4 or 5 yard touchdowns, he's still making touchdowns. What? He caught one against Indy, and he caught one against – who did he play? What did we play here? He caught one here.
Indy
twice. He did Indy twice. So even though he doesn't have the explosive place, he's still going to keep the chains moving. Good pick.
It should be noted, by the way, that Jonnu Smith is inactive today for the New England Patriots. I'd take Jonnu Smith today if the Titans could get Jonnu Smith. I'd call Belichick up and say, hey,
yeah,
you know, day one of next year, you eat the money. I'll give you something good, but just give me Jonnu Smith back because, goodness gracious. Whew. The Titans could use Jonnu Smith, and I assume that Jonnu Smith probably wishes he was still here, although the money is the money. So,
yes, yeah. It is. I'm ready.
Defensively, Chris Sanders, who's got a click today?
I haven't picked this joker all year, and I think I'm going to pick him. It's Jack Rabbit Jenkins. And the reason why I'm picking him is because I know they don't have big, big name receivers, but there's still some guys that can beat you down the field. And I think the, with Peyton, he's going to figure out matchups to where they're going to try to go after him, and I think they're going to go after him. So, you know, I'm picking Jack Rabbit. He's going to have to step up, maybe get a couple of tackles, a couple of interceptions, maybe a fumble.
Couple of interceptions.
I mean, they're going to – if I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm going after him. I'm putting Kenny Stills on him and say, you know what?
Especially with Fulton back in the lineup
That's what I'm saying. So he's got to have a big day because you better believe he's going to get picked on. So if he gets maybe one interception, a fumble recovery, some breakups, he's going to be your defensive player of the game.
Mark Howard?
I'm going to say Danico Autry, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's the best free agent that John Robinson has ever signed.
100%.
I think he is the igniter for Jeffrey Simmons, and I just think that what he initiates in the middle, and Mike Vrabel talked about it this past week leading up to this game, about Autry's improved technique, Terrell Williams, the D-line coach is responsible for that. But he is sort of the fire starter up there on the D-line.
You know, it's kind of piggyback on what Jared said earlier in the show, that Autry makes everybody better. He makes Simmons better. He makes all these guys better because who are you going to double-team? I mean, if you double-team him, Simmons is going to kill you. If you double-team Autry, then, any other guy on the defense can kill you. So, you know, I think that's an outstanding pick with Autry.
You know what my favorite thing about Autry was when they signed him? And I thought Autry was always a good player because the Titans would play the Colts, and he was going to kill Tannehill in all of those games.
Yeah.
You took a guy off of your biggest rival's team who was a difference maker, and you added him to your team to be a difference maker. And I think it has hurt DeForest Buckner's production in Indianapolis to not have Autry next to him. and it has helped Simmons' production to have Autry next to him. I absolutely love the signing, and I like the pick. I'm going with Jayon Brown today because without Rashawn Evans and without David Long Jr., those are big shoes to fill for Jayon Brown. Jayon Brown's got to figure out how to help this football team. I like Jayon Brown. He's been a good Titan, but the truth is he's been too injured over the years, and he's in a free agent year, and if he's going to become really more than just a specialty player, they're going to need Jayon Brown to be an every down linebacker who can also make plays in the running game, tackling a big back like Mark Ingram today. A big challenge to replace what David Long Jr. has brought the Titans, and I think it's going to be a lot to put onto Jayon Brown.
Yeah, okay.
You know, he's such an embodiment of the modern linebacker, you know, who's a little undersized, you know, from years past, but has the speed to help in coverage. And he's been a lot better against the run than even the Titans thought when they brought him in. And I agree with you, Jared. He's at times he's looked like a revelation, but, you know, his injury history has really sort of minimized at times his contributions to this team.
Yeah, I agree 100%. He's consistently been hurt. So if you're not on the field, you can't help your defense. But I agree with you 100%, Jared. He's got to step up and make some plays today, especially with David Long Jr. being out. And, you know, we missing him, going to have a whole bunch of tackles. But at the end of the day, Brown has got to step up and make some plays for the Tennessee Titans defense.
So I want to ask you a question, Chris Sanders, because you've lived this and Mark Howard and I haven't, which is right now, if the playoffs started today, the Tennessee Titans would be the number one seed in the AFC. When is a team allowed to start thinking about that? How does a team think about that? Because with the AFC, the way it looks like it is becoming this season, it feels to me as if getting the bye, letting teams take each other out is going to be huge, but also playing two games here at Nissan Stadium will be big. And even more importantly, perhaps getting Derrick Henry back with an extra week is going to be huge as well. When can a team start to think about that?
I mean, maybe like the second to the last game, you start to think about those things because you start to think about, okay, what players you can rest and what players you get back, because you got to remember, too, that Julio Jones is on the IR. Just imagine him coming back with Henry. So it just makes your offense more explosive. So it is very important that if the Tennessee Titans can get, you know, a first-round bye and it gets guys healthy to come back and contribute to this Titans team.
What do you think their chances of getting the one seed are?
I think it's a great chance. I mean, I think it's a great chance. If you're looking in the AFC, who's a dominant team right now?
Nobody.
The Tennessee Titans are the most dominant team in the AFC right now. I mean, if you look at the Baltimore, Baltimore's so inconsistent. You got the Bengals inconsistent. You got the Bills inconsistent. But the team that's playing consistent right now are the Tennessee Titans. So I think it's realistically that they get the first round bye.
I always think the season has a few different legs. I think right now it's good for the Titans. I think somebody's going to get hot in the second half of the season. You know, maybe the Titans remain that. But, you know, usually you'll see a team, you know, sort of step on the gas a little bit. But I think it's progressional for the Titans. I think it's making the playoffs first, you know, winning the division. You know, then it's, you know, you can start worrying about your seeding. But, you know, beyond that, you don't want to get too crazy.
I think in this instance, the one thing I do wonder, I am more optimistic about this, and maybe it's because you all know me, I'm just an optimist.
Are you?
A crazy-eyed optimist.
I think Derrick Henry's going to come back.
I hope he
does. And so if you can get the one seed and maybe get a game for Derrick, then have the bye, then only have to play two to get to the Super Bowl, I think you got a real shot to do it. With the AFC being the what it looks like right now, with no dominant team, where home field could be really important, I don't think there is a single player in the AFC on offense that is as good as Derrick Henry. Maybe Lamar Jackson, but Henry might be the best player. I think if they get him back, I think the Super Bowl is a realistic possibility.
I mean, it is. I mean, look at the games that they won without Henry. I mean, you didn't just go down to the Rams and just, you know, beat an okay team. You beat a team that was supposed to win to represent the Super Bowl in the NFC. So, you know, if they can just consistently just win these last couple of games, then they put their seventh position to win to be that number one seed.
Coming up next, we'll take a look at what the sports books are saying. Plus, we'll make our final game day predictions, and we will do that next. Right here live from Rock Bottom, it is the pregame show. Mark Howard, Chris Sanders, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are getting you set for Titans and Saints at Nissan Stadium. No Alvin Kamara today for the New Orleans Saints. Obviously, no Julio Jones or Derrick Henry for the Tennessee Titans. Points going to be a premium. Who do we think is the lead dog at running back today for the Titans?
I'm going with Foreman. And the reason why I'm going with Foreman is because you look at last week, even though he didn't have the big numbers, he still had those explosive runs. I mean, they had a chance to pop. So I know Pop Peterson, what you call him. You call him that. But I just think at the end of the day, I think Foreman's going to be the guy that's going to get maybe between 60 and 70 yards today.
Mark?
Yeah, I would agree. I think Foreman is the guy to look at. You know, Adrian Peterson's a nice story. Nice he scored a touchdown. But let's be realistic about this.
You know what? A couple of years ago, Adrian Peterson was on Washington, and they played here like at the end of the year, and I was talking all week about Paw Peterson, and he ran all over the Titans. And I can just remember Floyd the next day going, Paw Peterson, ha, 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 because, of course, he was scared to death of Adrian Peterson.
Yep.
There was one thing that stood out on Sunday to me. At the end of the game, I thought Foreman had run the best Sunday, too. At the end of the game, when the Titans were in the four-minute offense, they gave the ball to Peterson. And I think that was because Vrabel trusts Peterson not to fumble the ball. Yeah. But I do wonder if there is a fear with Foreman that perhaps is going to hold him back a little bit. Because every time he's come in relief for Derrick Henry, he's looked okay.
Yeah,
I can't imagine why no other team in the league would want him on the practice squad, much less want him on their team, because he looks like a decent player.
Yeah, he fits the identity of this Tennessee Titans team. I mean, if you look at our identity of our team, we have a big back with Henry that's going to run through your face. Foreman's the exact same way. He may not be as good as Derrick Henry, but he's still going to give you those 4 and 5 and 6 yards that are bruising runs. So I think he did a fantastic job last week, kind of.
Time to take a look at the latest odds on today's game, brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook app and my official sportsbook app. For today, Titans Saints, the line, the Titans are favored -2.5
Only
points.
Two?
Mark Howard, that's a strange number.
That's a stinky number. I hate to say it. You just wonder, coming off these four wins, is this where, you know, a lot of the flaws in this team catches up with them? And, you know, you just keep waiting, you know, for that Sunday where the pass rush isn't quite as good, where Tannehill makes too many mistakes. And without Derrick Henry, you know, they don't have that guy that you can really depend on to run the football.
I thought it would be more. I mean, just like the run that the Tennessee Titans had. I mean, you beat the Rams, you beat Indy, you beat the Chiefs. I mean, those are their teams that have the potential to make the playoffs. So that's kind of wild.
You beat the Chiefs with Derrick Henry, though. You beat the Colts with Derrick Henry. That, like, if Derrick plays, this is 8.5 Titans.
Yeah, a good point. But Yeah.
Which shows you how valuable, you know, for people that say, oh, running back, maybe not Derek. The over-under today, 42.5, so not a lot of points expected to be scored between these two teams. Anytime touchdown scorer, I'm actually kind of surprised by this.
42?
The lowest odds for an anytime touchdown scorer belong to Mark Ingram at +115, A.J. Brown +130. Jeremy McNichols is third at +210.
I don't even know how they compute that stuff. I mean, I understand, you know, power ratings and point spreads and everything else, but, you know, individual performance.
Like, how does Las Vegas say, hey, you know what? I think Ferkser is not going to score a touchdown today, so lower those odds right there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Passing yards over under Ryan Tannehill, 244.5.
I'm going to say under.
I'm going to say over.
You always say over.
I mean, the reason I'm going to say over because I think that they're going to have to pass the ball with a running back situation. So I think he's going to go over that.
I don't see how he can.
I mean, even if it's just dink and dunk down the field. he's still got to get some yards, because if the running game gets stalled, what else do you have?
I actually think that's a pretty good number right there, like to take the under. Like I feel pretty safe in taking the under at Tannehill, 244.5. Trevor Siemian, 204.5.
I would say under. I think our pass rush is going to hit him square in the lips.
I'll say under, too.
Why are you chuckling?
Because that's a pretty low number.
That is a terrible number.
You're telling
a team
a guy,
that has no run game right
you're
now.
You're telling a guy, Trevor, you kind of suck, man.
Well, the guy couldn't beat out Logan Woodside. Rushing yards, Adrian Peterson at 28.5 to lead the Titans. Jeremy McNichols at 20.5. Ryan Tannehill at 16.5. So we're saying Foreman should be the back who gets the ball the most. And the sportsbook, the official FanDuel Sportsbook app, does not have Foreman as an option. Adrian Peterson leading the way at 28.5.
I'm going to say under. 28.5. I mean, no. Good God.
I'm saying over.
Derrick
you
Henry,
always say over for the Titans.
Derrick Henry got 35 yards just in his stretch.
Got 35 coming out the locker room. Jeez.
I'm going to tell you the one that I think is free money.
What's that?
Tannehill, 16.5. Over. Because I think he's going to have to run the ball a little bit today.
I say under.
That's the only time you'll ever say
absolutely
under the Titans. Mark Ingram, 55.5. Surely he's got to hit that, because if they go under 55.5 and they go under 205, unless you turn the ball over 8 times, you win.
I say he's going to go under that. And the reason the reason why I say he's going to go under, because not too many teams the reason why I'm saying he's going under, because I think our front four is playing so well right now. I don't think he's going to get over 50-something yards. Absolutely not.
I mean, I'm reading, like, other than A.J. Brown, I'm looking at the receiving totals.
What is it?
So, Deontay Harris, 39.5. Marquez Callaway, 38.5. Anthony Firkser, 12.5. Swaim, 17.5. Peterson, 4.5 under. Traquan Smith, 35.5. Adam Trotman, 23.5. A.J., though, 84.5 for A.J. Against Marshawn Lattimore, would you take the over-under there, Chris?
What are they predicting, a 3-2 score?
I know.
I mean, it's going to be a rock fight today, I would assume.
I would say under. I think that Lattimore's a pretty good cornerback, and I think they're going to take A.J. Brown out of the game, because who else do you have at wide receiver?
Time now for our official game day picks. Our game day picks are brought to you every week by Social Furniture, located at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in West Nashville. Social Furniture, shop local, shop social. Chris Sanders,
yes.
You picked the Titans on Sunday Night Football to beat the Rams. Who wins today? Final score and why?
I'm going with the Tennessee Titans 24, Saints 10. And the reason why I'm saying 24-10 is because you got a quarterback that's inconsistent, that really hasn't played a lot of football, and then you have Kamara that's out, your potent, you know, game breaker on offense. So I just think the Tennessee Titans are a better team, and it's going to be 24-10. It's not going to even be close.
Mark Howard?
I'm saying Titans 16-13. Randy Bullock Palooza.
I actually am going right there with Mark. I'm going 16-15. I think it's going to be a weird game. Like, there's going to be 2-point conversions or safeties or missed PATs or something weird today is going to throw that 15-point off. I think Randy Bullock hits one to win it. It will remind me of the old Titans, Chris, when you used to play. Al Del Greco would come on to hit the game.
Automatic Al.
Randy Bullock, who has been automatic inside of 50 yards so far this year. Randy Bullock comes on and drills it for the Titans. Give me the Titans 16-15. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. We will be back next week. That's right. Crazy. We will be back next week here on the program as the Titans get set to take on the Houston Texans. A very important program for us, by the way, Friday at 5 o'clock, a special Floyd Reese, a true Titan, honoring the GM as he will be placed into the Ring of Honor.
That's awesome.
Next Sunday as the Titans take on the Texans. So we hope everybody will tune in Friday at 5, as well as throughout the weekend for Floyd Reese, a true Titan. That will do it for us. For Mark Howard, for Chris Sanders, for the rest of our crew, Jared Stillman, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.